Welcome to What in God's Name. She's Shayna Appel.
And he's Chris Owen.
Welcome to the Halloween show. Shayna, what was your favorite Halloween costume growing up?
Oh, God, Chris. Halloween for me was always about the candy. I don't remember getting into costumes. It just always felt like too much work. How about yours?
I remember being jealous of all the other children's costumes because they seemed to have mothers who would spend some time on a costume. And in my house, a creative costume was a white sheet thrown over my head. So, you know, I'd go to elementary school with that.
Casper.
And one time, we didn't even have a white sheet. So I do remember going as a ghost in a Sesame Street sheet.
Oh, dear God.
With Oscar the Grouch and Big Bird.
Oh, dear God. And I'm sure you were harassed mercilessly.
Scarred for life.
Oh, God. Oh, God. See? For what? It's really all about the candy at the end of the day. Why can't we just, you know, go forth as we are and, you know, and ask for the candy thing? Anyway, for whatever reason, I remember as a little kid, like, just not wanting to have to think about, like, what am I going to dress up for this year? And, you know, it's too much pressure. It's just too much pressure.
We're doing current events and culture from a theological and philosophical point of view.
Which you'd never know from our topic from today, but...
However, you will see, all will become clear as we discuss the cultural phenomenon of Halloween and some of the lessons, insights we can draw from simply observing what's going on in our culture and how we celebrate Halloween. But that's for a little bit down the road in the next few minutes when we get there. First of all, I wanted to continue to ask our audience to share your favorite show with your friends and social network. This fall, we have been working to build our audience, build our listenership. This show will be the last time that we will ask you to do this. And next week, Shayna, I'm going to make a report on our listenership and see if our push this fall has made a difference. So
I'm looking forward to that, Chris. I want to hear those numbers and hear how well we've done. I've seen a number of new posts popping up on our Facebook page, and that's exciting. Always glad to have new listeners among us.
Before we get to Halloween, we want to acknowledge that there are other things going on in the world.
And yes, we do.
Shayna and I had a little conversation before coming on the air about what's going on in the world and in the news, reminding folks that we are unbreaking news is one of our little taglines. We don't break the news, we break it down. So we're not really reporting, but we want to acknowledge.
Yes, that we're not just sitting up here in a bubble, that we are aware of, even as we come on the air today, that there are massive wildfires taking place in California. And Chris, just briefly, one of the things that I found really interesting about what's happening out in California is PG&E, the electric company out there, acknowledging up front that they're responsible for, that their lines are maybe responsible for some of these fires. And that's something I'm going to want to look into with our audience at some point down the road, because it seems a very different corporate posture than the one we're most familiar with, which is deny, deny, deny.
And that's in our show's wheelhouse because it has to do with morality.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Corporate morality and goods and services that Americans consume and how we weight all that and make decisions about that. So we're also aware that the impeachment process on Capitol Hill is heating up fast and furiously. Chris, I don't know about you. I have been incredibly and increasingly disturbed to hear much of the rhetoric that is coming out of both the Republican Party and the administration, referring to people as human scum, trashing those who have served in our nation's military with honors. I am thankful for the rare Republican who will stand up and say, we're not going to do this. We're not going to trash people who have served our nation's military with honors. But those voices are few and far between. Again, that's breaking news, and we're going to get back to all of that. But first, today, Halloween.
Before we move on to Halloween, one of the things that you've just said, Shayna, about impeachment that is in the What in God's Name wheelhouse is thinking about and reflecting on power and how power is exercised, which is not a partisan issue. It's a human issue. That's one of many directions we can go when we think of the impeachment proceeding.
How language can impact the trajectory of our democracy. So, friends, we're going to get back to all of that. God knows on any given day in America, there's enough going on and around the world for us to address all of these issues. But Chris, I am kind of excited to get into Halloween a little bit today. And
I can kick us off,
Shana. Kick us off.
The first thing I want to say about Halloween has to do with a somewhat intramural conversation amongst Christians.
I like and that. Intramural.
So for our non-Christian listeners, I think it can be illuminating, even if you are not a Christian, to follow this. There's an element within Christianity, a group of people who feel that Halloween is harmful. It celebrates violence and death and horror and fear and witchcraft, and that Halloween represents ungodliness in our culture. The perspective that it's inappropriate to display images of witches and goblins because those images actually attract Satan.
You're playing
with forces that you don't even understand.
You're playing with fire and probably going to hell, yeah.
I loved a response to that kind of ultra-serious judgmentalism from a man named Armin Mollering, who is a Lutheran, and he takes exception to what he characterizes as this shrill lecturing judgmentalism, ultra-seriousness. And his response is, now wait a minute, if we really want to fight demonic forces, we should follow the example of Luther, Martin Luther, who said in various places, if you want to fight the devil with humor and ridicule, and don't take yourself so seriously. This is apocryphal, but I love it, Shana. He quotes Luther as saying, listen, Mr. Devil, if you want to gobble me up, you can start with my ass.
I love it. Yeah, I can see that. I mean, in the sense that the devil, or, you know, El Satan, would be that which obstructs, that which gets in the way between us and our connection with God, with our deepest joy, with what is meaningful and enlivening, you know, for us. So while Halloween has never been my thing, personally, I really enjoy watching other people go for it. I mean, people have just gone full out, and they're just having fun.
That's the larger point of this response to those very serious Christians, is that
alive
in our culture is this sense that if you become a Christian, then basically all joy and fun goes out of your life. If you are a Christian, are you just limited to saying alleluia, or can you say whoopee as well? You know, can we be both an alleluia people and a whoopee people? Like, and to me, in my journey of faith, Christianity has led me to more whoopee, more joy, more lively and vivid engagement with the world and with life and with other people. It's my Christian faith that has led me to that, not away from it.
Well, there's a part of me that wants to say, my God, if your faith isn't leading you to more whoopee, you're not doing it right. That having been said, we might also ask the question, can we as people of faith create a wide enough pond for all to swim in? The yippee and the alleluia people. Okay, I get it. Halloween's not your thing, but don't freak my kids out by telling them they're going to hell because they, you know, dressed up in costumes. Or so clearly Christians come down differently on this, and I think people in general come down differently just in terms of personal interest.
Shana, let's make a show transition. I know that you and I wanted to say something about Halloween and consumerism.
Of course, everybody notices, you know, the Christmas decorations are already out before Halloween. We're coming up on Thanksgiving with Black Friday and all of this really uber ramped up compulsion to consume. And Chris, I know you had some information on Halloween and consumerism, and I'm wondering if you would share that with our listeners.
My numbers might be dated, but at one point in the recent past, Americans spent $6 billion on Halloween, and Halloween has become the second largest retail holiday in our country behind Christmas. So Halloween, so there's a big industry around Halloween.
Chris, that is just a stunning number. Man, $6 billion, seriously? That's crazy.
We could go down the consumerism train and be there for a while, because that really touches on pieces of who we are as a people at this point. And it's a spiritual question. We should do a show on consumerism. Have we done a show on consumerism?
I don't think we've done a show just on consumerism, but I think we should really look at it and how it is impacting, how it has impacted our culture and our democracy.
We should.
And the church, which is, you know, Jeff's book.
Here's a question, pivoting from consumerism, but staying within this broad category of what does Halloween show us about who we are as a people? And my question for you, Shana, it's a question I ask myself. Halloween has grown in our lifetime. It's become a huge thing, as witnessed by the numbers.
It's become a huge industry, yes.
But also anecdotally, I mean, just driving around, how much energy is put into.
It does seem much bigger now than it. And I can't tell if it's more energy or just bigger yard schmata, you know, like the big inflatable cats. And like, oh God, you know, we used to just have that at Christmas. Now we have Halloween yard schmata.
So I think this says something about who we are and where we are. And my question for you and for me is, what does all this energy surrounding Halloween, what are we hungry for?
My first thought when you asked that question, Chris, and I'd love to hear your reflection on this, is that it feels to me like in one way, shape, form, or another, we're numbing out. That we're just looking for more, you know, with Black Friday and with, you know, all this that we're numbing out. And maybe even being misled by a system that needs us or would prefer that we show up as consumers rather than as citizens.
That's so interesting, because I would say the exact opposite.
Really?
That we live our daily lives numbed out, and the energy around Halloween is an attempt to break out of that numbness.
Huh.
And the way I see that is Halloween is this moment, certainly in nature, where we're in this in-between place. We're not in summer anymore, but we're not in winter, which is a very powerful place in human existence. Whenever that happens in nature, or it happens in our personal stories, where we've left an old place, but we're not yet in a new place.
And many cultures and many faiths do honor that old souls day, or, you know, day of the dead, or that time when the veil between what we know and what might be beyond what we know is very thin.
Yes.
So we are definitely in that time.
I think that's just in the air. I think people feel that as it happens in nature, and as we have this holiday of Halloween. And so if people are feeling that, then Halloween becomes this time of lifting ourselves out of daily life and coming in contact with things that we fear but don't want to approach, usually death, for example, being one of those. So I read the
followed by Thanksgiving. How interesting is that? It's almost a secular liturgy.
That is interesting.
A secular liturgical calendar.
I didn't even think of that, but
right?
That is, yeah, it's true. So I lost.
Followed by Christmas and hope. Yeah, you were talking
I did lose my thought there.
Sorry.
That's okay. I'll find it next week somewhere.
Right, under the couch with the fur bunnies.
So let me just see if I can find my train. If we are generally sleepwalking through life, then this moment, it becomes a way of expressing a desire for more aliveness than what we usually have. That's how I want to say that.
Well, That is a very interesting idea. I don't want to discount it. I'm more tempted to say, wow, if that's going on, I think it's going on under the radar screen for most people. And I just say that based on what I see, because most of what I see is around Halloween is, you know, the frivolity and the consumerism and the, you know, does it arise out of some fundamental need for human beings at this time to do that? It may well do that. I don't see that being sort of lifted up or acknowledged or, I don't see that being made manifest in the, you know, the trunk parties now that they new thing this year. There may be underneath this something which originally sparked the celebration, gave rise to this need. But if it's there today, I don't see a whole lot of it. That's just my two cents.
I'm not unsympathetic to that, to your perspective on that. And I'm in a place in my interpretation of the wider culture where I tend to see a lot of practices that are not necessarily healthy or fulfilling as being rooted in a desire for health and fulfillment. Even this takes us afield, but even addiction. I mean, we've talked about this. People who become addicted to all kinds of things. There's a frustrated desire for fulfillment in that, and it just expresses itself in an unhealthy and ultimately, in many instances, destructive way. But I focus on the desire for fulfillment, for life, for meaning within those practices. And I even see consumerism that way, Shana. I mean, it's a lamentable element of our culture, and yet the desire,
It's trying to satisfy something.
And so I think that's important. I think that's important to acknowledge that,
and
if I'm on to something, it's important to see that.
I'm tempted to say that where consumerism becomes the El Satan, where consumerism becomes the great obstructor, is that, you know, it suggests that there is something we can consume in order to deal with the frustration, rather than to suggest, as I think many of our faith traditions do, that, you know, the frustration and the getting stopped and the having to struggle and sacrifice is a part of life. And there are productive things that one can do with that, that not only make one a stronger individual, but which, you know, help to build up one's communities and help to build the common good. What we do with that frustration, what we do with that sense of emptiness or that sense of longing or yearning matters. And, I guess I just hate to see that cast away on the altars of consumerism.
I agree wholeheartedly with what you just said.
Then we got to a place of agreement. I love when that happens.
You know, I just wanted to make one other observation. This has occurred intuitively to me, but I don't know if you've noticed how much more extreme roller coaster design has become in our culture.
What do you mean by roller coaster
design? Roller coasters.
Yeah.
In amusement parks.
Oh, the actual design of roller coasters.
Indeed.
Yeah.
The physical thing of a roller coaster.
Yeah.
They're pretty extreme.
They are pretty extreme.
You go, and I feel like there's a similar dynamic involved. The story I'm telling is our culture is asleep and we're so disconnected from life. And so when we actually put ourselves in danger, which Halloween is a kind of enactment of putting ourselves in danger. We play at dancing with ghosts and goblins, and we are in contact with death. Roller coasters put you in contact with death too. You're climbing
absolutely.
That. And so I feel like our culture is just seeking ways to try to feel alive.
On the one hand,
by being in contact with death.
Right. On the one hand, numbing us out with consumerism, and then on the other hand, using consumerism to also simultaneously make us feel alive while it throws us on roller coasters that used to be used to, you know, test whether people were capable of being NASA astronauts. Yeah. That's a fascinating thought. terrifying and fascinating. Because if you're right, Chris, it means we're like stuck on this little wheel. And neither solution we're being offered is in fact the promise of a breakthrough, fails to provide the promise of a meaningful life. It's just swapping opioids, really. The numbing reality of consumerism with the, you know, interspersement of absolute terror, you know, which...
Well,
but,
and that's
but
where...
But I don't think you're wrong.
I mean, and that's where I think your critique comes in, which is while we might identify something that's life-affirming, life-desiring in the midst of all of the cultural practices, including Halloween, ultimately they don't satisfy, and ultimately they're not, they don't succeed at what they're aiming at. They might succeed for a moment. Like when you come off the roller coaster, when I come off the roller coaster, I feel pretty exhilarated.
Oh, sure, 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 sure.
But that wears off.
Yeah. And it does feel very much like that. That's where we are as a society. I mean, you and I were talking, and before we came on to record today, we were talking briefly about what's happening in the world and how all of these places around the world are on fire right now in protest. And we've seen hundreds of thousands of people in the streets in South Korea and Beirut and Lebanon. And in America, not so much. You know, it's almost like the whole nation is just narked out and overwrought with the real BS, the meanness and the refusal on the part of elected officials to name some of what's happening. There's just, it's like this huge narcolepsy has come over the nation. And it's almost like the nation's on an IV drip and we sustain the narcolepsy of the nation by infusing it, you know, with stuff that's brain killing and stuff that's terrifying, and just, you know, alternate the drips one to the other.
Our show, What in God's Name, aims to surface these things, because one of our axioms is that politics is downstream of culture, which is just a way of saying that politics is derivative of something deeper. And
one of our axioms is stay curious, go deep. It's not turn out, to, you know, drop out, tune out, whatever. You know, that we're trying to keep people engaged at a time where we think it's critical for all of us to stay engaged. So,
indeed, if we want to be self-governing people.
Friends, we know it's tough. We know that, you know, man does not survive on Brussels sprouts alone. But as always, it's good to have you all with us, listening in and eating a plate of Brussels sprouts now and again to stay tuned and to stay focused and to be recalled to, you know, our best selves and our highest values.
Be curious, Shana.
Go deep, Chris.
And shine the light.
You've been listening to What in God's Name, the show that looks at contemporary issues through the lenses of theology and philosophy.
You can find us on the web, www.whatingods.com. That's WHATINGODS. Contact us on Facebook or email. Shane, it's great to see you.
Always great to see you, Chris. Happy Halloween.